Good morning. This is Pastor Brad Putnam, Augustana Lutheran Church of Duluth, Minnesota. In response to the President's recommendations on limiting gatherings, we will not be holding church services until we get his approval later on. We'll be streaming our messages on Facebook at Augustana Lutheran, a free Lutheran congregation, and more information can be found at our website, www.augustanaduluth.com. I want to encourage you during this time of uncertainty that you rely on the promises of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." God is going to work all things together for our good and not against us. We need to hold on to that and stand upon those promises. Another promise is in Romans 8:31, where it says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" And then Romans 8:35, it says, "Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ." And finally, in Romans 8:39, it goes on and says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the goodness of God has not been canceled. Wake up each morning and know that God loves you, and rejoice that he is with you each and every day. I pray that you will be blessed by these messages when we are not meeting together. And if you are able and moved by the Holy Spirit to give to our ministry, please mail your donations to Augustana Lutheran Church, 3251 Midway Road, Duluth, Minnesota, 55810. I'd like to share one verse before we go into our message today from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. The verse says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." What I want you to take with this verse is I want you to continue to hold on to the joy and the peace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and abound in that love by the Holy Spirit. That is what the verse is saying for us. That is what God wants for each and every one of us today. So as I begin our message today, it's going to come out of the book of 1 Thessalonians. And I'll begin with prayer. Father in heaven, almighty God, we come before you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, our souls, and our minds, that we may grow in your grace, in your knowledge, in your wisdom and understanding. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would fill each person that hears this word today with your very presence. May they be just filled with your presence by the Holy Spirit. We pray this and ask this, Lord Jesus, in your precious and holy name. Amen. Our message this morning is titled, "An Example of a Believer," from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, Paul, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit. So you became examples to all in Macedonia and in Achaia who believed. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith moved toward God. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned from God, or turned to God from idols to serve the true, living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Amen. I love that where it ends today in verse 10, how Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. The Apostle Paul begins in verse 1, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This message is to the saints, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Lord, as the Son of God. Christ Jesus is our great God and Savior. And I pray that everyone who hears this word either believes in Jesus or wants to. If you do not believe in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is encouraging you to make today the day of your salvation, please write to us at Augustana Lutheran Church or call me, Pastor Brad Putnam, 218-591-7631. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also for the Greek." The Greek here is the Gentile, the unsaved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, we have the very definition of the gospel. Verses 3 and 4 say, "For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures." The very gospel that we are to believe is that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and on the third day he rose for our justification. The instant you believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are born again into the family of God. When you believe in Jesus, you belong to his family, the family of God. In John chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus prays that they may all be one. All believers are one in Christ and one family, as we are all equal in the sight of God. We are all given the righteousness of Christ through faith in him. Chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians is on salvation and on the assurance of salvation. The doctrine that God and Paul share with us is truth, the very promises of God that need to be shared. This book, this letter, encourages us to live in the future that Jesus Christ could appear at any time. I believe the scripture teaches we should live as Christ could return at any time. We should be looking for Christ's return, as we are told in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, where it says, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." And this is further explained in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, and it's known as the rapture of the church, the next great event on God's calendar. Verse 1 of our text begins with a greeting. "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." It's important as we look at this that grace always comes first. As Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast." Grace is followed by peace. It is when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ through faith in him and his work of dying on the cross for your sins. Then, and only then, can you know the love, the peace, and the joy of God. Hear that again. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ by believing in him and the work that he did in dying on a cross for your sins, then and only then can you know the love, the joy, and the peace of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace comes after grace. Our salvation involves the Trinity. We Christians believe in one God, existing in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three persons are involved in our salvation. God the Father had the plan, and we were saved when He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. God the Son completed the plan when He died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And God the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, revealing the Word of God to us, and has brought us to faith in Jesus Christ. When we are chosen, we are called and must respond to the call. And when we do, we are justified and glorified by God, as it says in Romans 8:30. It is a done deal. When we accept Jesus, we have been justified and glorified. Praise God for that. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, it says, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." It is the work of the Holy Spirit that brings us to faith in Jesus Christ. We see in this text that Paul was a great man of prayer. In verse 2, he shows that he was thankful for the church and he prayed for them. This church was an example to all, as each believer is an example of Christ. Everyone can be saved and be part of God's family. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus might show all patience as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life." Paul says he was chief among sinners and he was saved. And so that means salvation is for each and every one of you. Each and every one of us. Those who are not saved are lost because they have chosen to be lost and not to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Verse 3 of this text is so very important. It gives us the beginning of salvation and its work. Verse 3 says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father." Amen. The work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope are the three steps in the lives of the Thessalonian believers, and they should be ours as well. First, how we turn to God is a work of faith. Second, to serve God is a labor of love. And third, to wait for Christ's return from heaven is the patience of hope. The work of faith is how our faith is shown to others. Faith is a response to the Word of God. As 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Jesus said something similar to us to this in John chapter 6, 28 and 29. Precious verses. "They said therefore to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.'" For believers, the work of faith is acting on the Word of God. What is the work of God? It is to believe on Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul always preached Christ, crucified and risen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." What is the labor of love? God saves by grace, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, which is action of love. Jesus said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We are to love Jesus, and whatever we do will be a labor of love. Labor is not labor when it's done in love. Love is expressed in obedience, as it says in the hymn, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way." Out of love, we serve our Lord. The third area the Thessalonians were commended for was their patience of hope. They were waiting for Christ's return from heaven. What do we wait for? When you're young, you might eagerly wait for your birthday to come. As a teen, you wait for the day you get your driver's license. As a young adult, you may be waiting for that first career job or your marriage. A mother-to-be awaits for the birth of their child. As a Christian, a follower of Christ, we are to eagerly await for his return from heaven.
Amen.
Amen is right. That is our blessed hope, Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In verse 3, Paul remembers the Thessalonians' work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how others should see our lives. Do others know that the work we do for Jesus is out of love for him? Do others know you're waiting for his return, his blessed return? This is how the Thessalonian church was known, and how our church should be known, and how we should be known individually. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." Our good works are to glorify God and not ourselves. We exist for him, for his glory, and for his purpose. God wishes for all to be his chosen people, to be his children. Christ died for the sins of the whole world in 1 John 2:2. And we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, as we read in Romans 3:23. We all need to have our sins washed by the blood of Christ. There is no one who is worthy of God on our own. But God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, in Romans 5:8. Christ died for us, that he might present us to himself, the church in all her glory and splendor, having no spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing, but that we should be holy without blame before him. We must choose to believe in Jesus, as John 1:12 tells us. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name." Those who believe overcome the world. As we read in 1 John 5:5. "And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Because if you do, you have overcome this world. Now Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, that is the word of God that came in the power of the Holy Spirit and convicted you to change your life. There is power in the word of God and power in the Holy Spirit. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that changes our lives. Hebrews 4:12 we read, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." It is the work of the Holy Spirit that takes the word of God and performs the greatest miracle and greatest act of God in changing a lost sinner into a precious child of God.
Amen.
Amen. Did you hear that again? It's the work of the Holy Spirit but takes the Word of God and performs the greatest act of God, changing a lost sinner into a precious child of God. This is what took place in verse 7 of our text, when it says they became examples to all believers. Each one of us who has accepted Christ as Savior and Lord is an example to everyone who sees us. Sometimes we are not the godly example that we should be, but we are still His examples to believers and to unbelievers. It is the Holy Spirit and the Word of Christ that has brought us to turn to God and to serve Him and to wait for Christ Jesus to return from heaven for us. In Romans 10, 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we turn to God as a work of faith, when we serve God as a labor of love. But finally, those who love Him and serve Him are waiting for His return. Jesus has delivered us from the wrath to come, in verse 10. Now we are to be busy for the Lord while we wait for His return, to take us out of this world and to be with home with Him forever, for eternity. Praise God. Believe in Jesus. Have eternal life. And be a child of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just praise You and thank You for this time. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for this powerful word. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, for the work of the Holy Spirit, working in our lives with the Word of God to change us. To change us, to become more like Christ each and every day. Father, we just praise You and thank You for the plans that You have for us. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.